Hello, I am Dr. Laura Pfeiffer, naturopathic doctor, with the goal of helping you balance your hormones so that you can focus on what matters. Today, I want to talk about fibroids and specifically fibroids' impact on fertility because a lot of my patients will come see me and say, oh, they found a fibroid on my ultrasound, or I've been told I have this many fibroids, or they're this size. Number one question is, are they relevant? And number two question is, will it impact my fertility, especially for those looking to conceive? And obviously, then we work on a treatment plan to get rid of them. So I'm going to talk about the implications of fibroids on fertility and how they may impact fertility, because a lot of times in a non-fertility setting, my patient will go in, get an ultrasound, probably a transvaginal or a pelvic ultrasound, and they will be told, or maybe they actually won't be told that they have a fibroid, until they see the report and they read that there are fibroids. So let's just talk about what a fibroid is and how it can impact fertility. So fibroids are known as the most common pelvic tumor. Now they are benign, meaning they are non-cancerous, and they actually are pretty common. They occur in about 70% of women by age 45. Many are small and they don't actually cause symptoms. Now, important thing to remember is fibroids are actually defined by their location. So if we look at it from a location perspective, we have subserosal, which is the most common. We have intramural, and we have submucosal, which is the least common. I'm going to show you a picture to make it easier. And I'm going to move myself out of the way here. Okay. This is the picture of the fibroids. Now, when you look at all of the different locations, this is why this matters, because obviously wherever the fibroid has implanted and grown is going to have an impact or not have an impact on fertility. So I only mentioned a couple different types. As you can see, there are a ton, but a lot of them are gonna be not as common, like the pedunculated. This is a subserosal pedunculated. Pedunculated just means it's like on the edge, kind of hanging off with a stem here. Intramural is in the muscle. Here's a pedunculated submucosal. So it's in the mucosa, but it has like a stem here. That's the difference between the pedunculated and the regular ones. This is a normal submucosal. So see how it's in the mucosa here? This one's in the mucosa, but it's like created a stem. That's the difference between the two. And then subserosal is actually in the serosa of the, in the serosal layer, if you can see here, it's labeled, of the uterus. So it's really just based on location. So what are the signs and symptoms? I'm going to have to move myself again. Signs and symptoms of fibroids really depends. It depends where they are, and it depends how big they are. So most women will have heavy periods. Some will have spotting between periods. Specifically, if you have a fibroid that is pushing near your cervix area, you might have a little bit more sensitive of a cervix, and you're going to be more likely to spot between periods. There's a lot of pain and pressure depending on how big that actual fibroid gets. And you can have urinary symptoms from bladder compression. You can also have intestinal symptoms from intestinal compression. So depending on, again, the location will make a huge difference to determine really what we're dealing with here. Okay. How do we diagnose it and what is it caused by? So typically we're diagnosing it by imaging. So most women will have an ultrasound. Again, if that ultrasound is inconclusive, if they don't really know if what they're looking at is a fibroid or an artifact, specifically for fertility purposes, we'll use something called a sono or sonohistogram just because it gives a better image. We can also do an MRI. MRI is most accurate, but typically here in Canada, at least, we're not just sending people for MRIs because it's just not an accessible tool to everyday use. This is why they're not used a lot. Typically, we just go to ultrasound because it's easy, and if we need more information, we'll go to sono. Again, MRI is used if need be, but it's not the most common way we look at fibroids. So what's the cause? Excess estrogen exposure can actually increase your risk of developing fibroids. It's known that obesity, being overweight, actually three times your risk of having fibroids. So if we look at women who are over 70 kilograms versus less than 50 kilograms, we know that the risk for women who are over 70 kilograms in weight is three times that for those that are less than 50 kilograms. There is a connection to endocrine disrupting chemicals. Endocrine disrupting chemicals are basically those exposures, pesticides, makeup products, plastic specifically, can actually increase your risk of developing fibroids. And of course, there's a little bit of a genetic component. If your mom has fibroids, you are more likely to have fibroids as well. So, how does it impact fertility? So there's a couple different ways in which this happens, a couple mechanisms that are proposed and how fibroids can actually impact fertility. So they can prevent a fertilized egg from actually attaching itself to the lining of the uterus, which is a problem. We're impacting implantation. Submucosal fibroids can actually block the fallopian tube. If we block the fallopian tube, we're not able to ovulate. And submucosal fibroids can increase the risk of miscarriage and cause heavy bleeding. Why I'm highlighting that is because submucosal fibroids are the ones we need to worry about. So you might have noted a subserosal or something else that is in your fibroid. If an ultrasound report will either say the fibroid and the type of fibroid, or from a fertility context, what you might notice is your report will actually say no submucosal fibroids. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have any fibroids. Maybe you have some, maybe they're little, but they're definitely not submucosal, which is what we look for to impact fertility specifically. So if you've had an ultrasound from a fertility perspective, that's what you might notice is that in the workup that the radiologist does, they'll write no submucosal as opposed to identifying each and every one, if you have more than one, if they are actually there. So other ways that fibroids can impact fertility is they can actually change the shape of the cervix. And like I said, location does matter. So if it's right by the cervix, it can actually change the shape, and that can affect the number of sperm that can actually enter the uterus. Change in the shape of the uterus can interfere with the movement of the sperm or the embryo. Again, if they're big enough to actually change the shape, that's going to be a big deal. Fibroids can impact the size of the lining of the uterus. So if you have a huge fibroid, it can impact the lining on one side, and that can impact the receptors, that can impact the ability for implantation to happen. And then blood flow to the uterus can be reduced because we have a lot of blood flow that's being sucked off with the fibroid. So we have a lot of this concentrated blood flow that is creating your fibroid to grow, and that can impact blood flow to the overall uterus. And then in general, having a fibroid causes inflammation. Inflammation can impact the actual implantation of the embryo as well. And there are some risks during pregnancy. I'm going to move myself out of the way here because I want you to see this note. I'm going to note, just kind of above everything else, most women with fibroids have uneventful pregnancies. So you can have a fibroid as long as it didn't impact your fertility, you were able to conceive, implantation happened, it wasn't a huge barrier to becoming pregnant, then usually you'll have an uneventful pregnancy. However, in some cases, it can cause an issue. Again, we're talking about location and we're talking about size. So some risks during pregnancy are recurrent spontaneous abortion, so miscarriages, premature contractions, depending on how big it is, you could go into premature labor, abnormal fetal presentation. This is mostly because based on the size and location of the fibroid, the baby might not have a specific place where it's able to grow properly. And so you may have a baby who's not in the proper position to deliver. And there are some conflicting reports of postpartum hemorrhage, meaning that women who are pregnant and have fibroids have more of a chance of bleeding postpartum. That's not necessarily true across the board, and we have seen cases where that's conflicting and it's not, it wasn't seen to be significant. So that's why I just wrote conflicting reports, but good for you to know. So we know that miscarriage is increased in women with fibroids compared to women who don't have fibroids. So we know if we look at the percentages, women, so 14% versus 7.6%. So basically we have women with fibroids had a 14% increased risk of miscarriage versus 7.6% in those who didn't have fibroids. And in this case, we know that the size of fibroid does not impact this, but having multiple fibroids may. Again, I think that it depends on the location, because if you have a little fibroid, let's say, but it's in an area of concern, an area where it's near the cervix or it's near really close to implantation, then that's going to cause an issue. Having a huge fibroid that's like blocking the cervix, well, obviously that's going to cause an issue as well. And so I think if you had little ones in a location that predisposes you to miscarriage versus a big one not in a location, that would matter more. So I think the location matters more than the size specifically, and the type of fibroid matters. An early miscarriage is more common in women with fibroids located in the uterine body. Like I said, location. And bleeding early pregnancy. Again, if the placenta implants close to the fibroid, that can cause spotting or bleeding early pregnancy. And again, that might not be harmful. That might be something that you're just tracking and it's not going to impact the placenta or the baby at all. But it can certainly be scary, especially for someone who's going through fertility and may have fertility issues in general. Placental abruption. So this is when the placenta actually detaches from the uterus completely. Again, there's conflicting reports, but in some studies, we found the risk being threefold in women with fibroids. A retained placenta, so not being able to deliver the placenta properly, has been shown to be more common in women with fibroids, but fetal growth does not appear to be affected by the presence. Again, we can have an abnormal fetal presentation where they're not in a really good position, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to grow properly. Okay, so that's how fibroids may impact fertility. And then we say, okay, well, is surgery required? I'm going to say not always. There's not enough evidence to recommend surgery for the purposes of improving fertility outcomes in intramural or subserosal fibroids because these have very low fertility risk. However, submucosal is the type of fibroid I keep talking about. They are associated with lower fertility rates, and the removal has been shown to improve conception and live birth rates. So definitely something to talk about with your doctor. If you're seeing submucosal, that's a really important thing to highlight. That's a really important thing to get taken care of. And if they recommend surgery versus not will depend on the location, the size, and the type. So again, not all fibroids need surgery, and some mucosal fibroids would benefit from being removed. If you guys have any questions, please comment below.